From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, fabulous producer, displaying his fabulosity in every way today. We very much appreciate his help and hard work. Matt Catrillo is our newsroom, one of our reporters here, Sarah Lover. So we appreciate everybody teaming up. On the news line with us now, Professor Andrew Stahl is back on the line. He is an associate professor of environmental studies and sciences at Bucknell University, and he has one of those jobs where the more you get into it, the more you do, the more you love it, the more time clicks by fast, and he is doing research as it relates to the hurricane and tropical storm Agnes of 1972, so it's got to be fascinating work, I bet. Good morning, Professor. Thanks for calling in again today.
Good morning, Mark. Yes, thanks for having me on.
I do appreciate it. Just tell me, I just alluded to it, give me some sort of a sense of the zeal that goes into looking into this and digging deeper and finding out more. This prevents you from having to get a job and go to work. I mean, this idea of doing this kind of research.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely as a professor at Bucknell, it's part of our job. Creating new knowledge, finding the lessons in the past. As a historian, that's my main work. I believe that the people who live before us, the people who have blazed the trail we're on, they have a lot of wisdom, and they've left it in different ways. They left it in their memories, they left it in written records that might be personal, diaries or letters, and they've left it in public records and government offices and libraries. And we do a disservice to ourselves as doers of our generation if we don't heed their wisdom, if we don't understand what they went through, and we don't try to glean the lessons from their experiences. So, yes, it's a bit of work. It's a bit of sleuthing. I like to think of it as a detective when you're in the library, pouring through some written records, trying to find clues, piecing things together. But I really like that. And as a teacher, it's a wonderful opportunity to speak with young people, students, about what it takes to create the reports that we eventually see from all kinds of researchers. When they do get in front of us in the news, that's the end process of sometimes multi-year steps to create those reports and to glean those lessons. So, yeah, it's part of the job. I love it.
Well, you and researcher, student researcher Bethany Finch is from the class of 23, are working on researching the Agnes flood of 1972. Let me ask you first about a little bit about geology and maybe our physical Earth, and then I'm going to ask you about the people. So first of all, in terms of the, I'm going to use a term I don't really know what it means, geomorphology, this idea of how things change on the Earth and so on. How did our area change after Agnes?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, many years ago, the riverbed formed, and that was well before the communities that we know in Susquehanna Valley today. And as your question points to, those kind of geological foundations did shape specifically how water moves in our area. When a raindrop hits the surface of the earth, it takes its course to the nearby tributary or small creek, and then down to the Susquehanna main stem, and that main stem passes through many of our river towns, all on its way down to the Chesapeake Bay. And so the rock formations that are below the surface of the earth, the topography and how the earth is tilted toward those creeks and streams and rivers, that was all kind of out of our hands, so to speak. Remarkably, geomorphologists say that with the incredible amount of rain, there was some change to the rivers and streams after Hurricane Agnes. And it came because the rain brought with it sediment from the surface of the earth, loose topsoil that filled into the creeks in certain places and filled into the river in certain places. And then down the river, you know, kind of backed up behind dams along the way. So in those ways, the river certainly did change as a result of Agnes. But I think, as we'll talk about soon, it wasn't the most dynamic or visible change. Those happened in the human communities along the river.
All right. So give us this the timeline of that, kind of how we were and how we were immediately after Agnes. And you can take the timeline right up to now.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think the thing that's always staggering to me when I look at the record and talk with people in our communities is just the massive human toll. I mean, sadly, there were 50 Pennsylvanians that died as a result of this storm. 200,000 Pennsylvanians that were rendered homeless, had to move out of their homes. And there were billions of dollars in property damage and crop damage. And so those are things that people felt intimately, and they saw in their own households, and they also saw in their communities, you know, retail stores that were flooded and had to be gutted. Many vivid memories in our town of the smell of the dirt or the mud, the flood mud, people digging out after and piling up their belongings, their histories on the curb to be taken away to a landfill or a dump. Milton, in our area, experienced $29 million of property damage, and some of that was never built back. And one of the things that we're really looking into in our research is the choices that River Towns made after Hurricane Agnes, after experiencing the trauma and damage, about how to build back. And they made different choices. So if you go to Milton, you notice across from the river there's a big open space near the Moose Lodge, and that used to be, you know, populated with homes and stores, but the town decided in the early 70s after the storm not to build back there, to relocate some houses and buildings, and to keep that area free from potential flood in the future. And Lewisburg eventually decided the same, but many years later, along 6th Street and Huffnagle Park. And so I think those questions about how towns rebuild are really important for us today, not just because the towns we live in actually bear the legacy of those choices back then, but because they give us some insight into our current crisis with the pandemic. Because every choice with rebuilding back in any town had to try to balance the individual liberties of property and life and pursuit of happiness and all those protected in the Constitution, as well as the public interest. How do we protect our town, not just my stuff, but our town from a flood or crisis again?
Well, and I think our resolve in terms of governmentally how we regulate our built-out community in the floodplain has evolved. You just can't build in the floodplain anytime you want to. You know, saying to your governmental leaders or your insurance company, well, we'll clean up if we get flooded. You don't have that option these days.
You're exactly right. And that's actually one of the major consequences of Agnes. After 1972, the federal government did allow Congress to appropriate millions and billions of dollars to help Pennsylvania build back. And they realized we can't keep doing this for every town and every river flood that happens in our country. We need to find a different way of managing the financial risk of floods, let alone the human risk. And so what they did is they really asked engineers to help them, and they said, look, we have to shift from trying to protect the water at the source of a dam or a levee or an earthen bank, and actually try to protect the water and move the water upstream along all different kinds of land uses along the river. And this is what really birthed flood zoning and land use regulations in the United States in the 1970s. And you can probably already tell, like, once you ask individual property owners to account for flood risk on their properties rather than just move the water in the river or with a dam, again, you build that question, that tension of individual choice versus public interest. And so the 1970s, and in Pennsylvania, we were the experimental space for these regulations and ordinances. And in some cases they've worked, but in some cases they've created the conditions we have of divisiveness we have in our society and our state today. So it's really an open question of how we continue to manage floods. But the issue of municipalities and how they, you know, generate a tax revenue in the flood zone because they cannot have a lot of properties there, that's a really open question. A lot of our river towns in our area face that.
Tell me about your call. We have just a moment left in this segment, but tell me about your call for assistance, photographs. You'd like us to get a little active and to help get some cataloging underway.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, so one of the things we recognize is so many people in our area have the wisdom and experience with Agnes from 1972. The people who were making decisions in that time are now getting up in years, and we'd love to talk with them and learn their story. And so my research student and I and a couple other collaborators are asking folks who have stories they'd like to share to reach out to us so we can do an interview with you. You can send us an email at agnesrevisited@gmail.com. agnesrevisited@gmail.com. And once we hear from you, we'll reach out, we'll talk about what an interview would entail. Everything would be with the interviewee's consent in terms of how we record it, what information we'd be able to use. We would give you a copy of the recording as well as the transcript, and we would use that information in getting this fuller picture of how different river towns rebuilt and what Agnes did to our Susquehanna Valley. And now I know I'm going to talk with you a little bit later today, or this morning. I can give the information about the community photos at that time, but in a similar vein, we're trying to collect photos from folks and display them at Bucknell over the next year. So if you have already scanned digital photos, go ahead and email them to that same address, agnesrevisited@gmail.com.
And yes, we're going to talk at 7:40 this morning. We'll talk about this resilience and character that you are learning more about for the people who were impacted by the flooding. And we'll talk about, we spoke briefly a couple of weeks ago, and you really drew some clear parallel lines between what happened then and the pandemic. And maybe we were a little even better prepared around here for the pandemic because of our Agnes experience. So we're going to talk about that at 7:40. Professor Stahl, thank you. We're going to place you on hold. You can stay on the line or call back at 7:40. But thank you for this half of the interview, and then we'll talk to you shortly.
Thank you, Mark.
That is Professor Andrew Stahl, is an associate professor of environmental studies and sciences at Bucknell University. Deep research into the Agnes flood of 72, not only the geography, but the people, our resilience, our recovery, our connections to the pandemic today. That Gmail he mentioned, agnesrevisited@gmail.com.